And say when the death dew lies cold upon my brow, if ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. I'm thankful that it's not in this life only that I have hope in Christ. Good to be here tonight. As I've already said, I'm thankful to have Brother Rich with us. I appreciate his work in the Lord. Thankful for him. Glad that he had a desire and was willing to come and preach here before us this evening. My thought has always been, if you are going to define a preacher is not just somebody that relates an experience of having been called to preach. It's somebody that can relate an experience of having been called to preach and they go preach. That's a preacher. And I'm thankful that not only that he owned his call to the ministry, but that he's out preaching. And I'm thankful to have him here tonight. And I want to ask you to continue to pray for him, not just when he stands before us this evening, but pray for his ministry, that the Lord will use him. And so I'm going to turn the service over to him, and let's turn our attention now to the Word of God.
Y'all for letting me come here tonight. You know, there's a big part of me and you people. I love each and every one of you. When I see you out on the street somewhere, I see a big smile on your face. You always ask me how I'm doing. I'm always glad to see you. But you know, the reason you're a part of me is because I've learned a lot from this church. When I was saved, I was in a mission, General Baptist Church on June the 3rd, 1969. Some of you have heard my testimony before. Some of you probably haven't. But you know, I knew there was something different that I needed to be searching for. The teaching of that church wasn't exactly what the scriptures were saying. I got out and I went to the Methodist Church. That didn't last too long. Went over to the Church of Christ, see what they had to say, and that didn't last too long either. I ended up at a Missionary Baptist Church and listened, kept coming back. You know, I was a saved man at that time. Well, I got out into the world when I was in college. I done some things that I'm ashamed of. And as David said, I lost the joy of my salvation. We were talking about that this morning in Sunday school. You know, but I never wondered whether I was going to have a home in heaven or not. Just like I said this morning in our Sunday school class, I was worried about what I was going to have to tell God when I got there, because I'd just been out in the world. And like I said this morning, I think I probably broke all the commandments, but killing somebody and all. But, you know, God's a forgiving God. When I was at the lowest point, he reached down and took a hold of my hand and pulled me up. I was too embarrassed and too ashamed to reach up for his. I could get my hand about this high. I couldn't stick it up there and say, please take me. But I stuck it up a little bit, and I was praying to him. And I said, Lord, I'm in a mess. I've got myself in a mess, and I don't know how to get out of it. This life I'm living, I'm not happy anymore. And from that moment on, he reached down and took my hand. Now, I had some consequences that I had to face, but he made it where I could face it with happiness in my heart. You know what? When Kathy called me last night and said, Brother Miller called and wanted to know if you can preach tomorrow night. And, you know, I try to, you know, pray for a message. And I'd been studying a message, and I thought, well, God didn't give me nothing. So this morning, I started studying a little bit, and I studied a little bit after church. And I took a little nap, about 10 or 15 minutes, and I woke up. And God put something else on my heart. Y'all just pray for me that I'll be able to deliver the message that he wants you to hear. Because everything I say here tonight is out of love for you folks. But this country's getting in a mess. And, you know, when you try to talk about God to people, they don't want to hear it. Most of the people out here outside these doors don't want to hear it. A lot of people think we're foolish. I want y'all to turn over to 1 Corinthians, and I want to read in chapter 1, verse 25. It says, "Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called." You know, to the world, we'd be a foolish bunch of people tonight. A lot of people think, you know, we're wasting our time here. Well, I'm glad I was foolish enough to listen to an old-time preacher. I'm glad my family took me to church and let me listen to what they had to say. Because one night, I was so scared I didn't want to go home. I realized that I was lost. I thought if I didn't get to the altar and get saved that night, I wasn't going to make it home. They preached about Lazarus and the rich man, and the rich man wanted Lazarus to bring him a drop of water. And I could just see me being there in that torment and that pain. I made my way to that altar that night, and I prayed. And I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. I don't remember how long I prayed. It seemed like forever, but it wasn't a long time, because it might have been 30 minutes, it might have been an hour, it might have been 2 hours, I don't know. But the Lord saved me. Just as soon as he saved me, something changed about me. When that change happened, I began to worry about other people. I began to have love for other people. You know, when I got up off that altar, the devil tried to tell me, said, "You're not saved. You didn't get up and shout some of these people do. You didn't, you know, you're not saved. You're just kidding yourself." Well, I sat back there. I didn't acknowledge it for a little bit. And then all of a sudden, Jesus was on the scene right there, and he says, "I've got you, and I'll never let you go." Just like I'd heard, he said, "Nobody can pluck you out of my hands." He said, "He's never lost one of us." Well, like I said, after that, I was happy for a long time. I'd go to church and I'd sing. I couldn't carry a tune in the bucket, but I'd get out there and sing as loud as I could. And like I said, I got out in the world, and I let the devil tempt me and get me into things I shouldn't get into. But, you know, he did bring me back, and I'm thankful that he did, because he sure blessed me more than I ever deserve. You know, somebody asked me, said, "You're getting to preach a lot?" And I said, "No." "Well, not really, but," I said, "I try to preach a little bit every day." They said, "What do you mean?" So I try to take some time to talk to somebody that I think, you know, might be able to get something from what I got to say. Also, I try to live to where if somebody sees me, they're going to know that there's something different. I still make a lot of mistakes. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to say I'm perfect, because I'm not. I'm going to relate something that happened to me at a horse show here a couple weeks ago. You know, I'm a big old boy, and I like to eat. And this one man, he come up, and he said, "Would you like to have some apple pie?" I said, "Well, sure." Well, he come back. He brought me a little jar of moonshine or something. Had some apples in it. He said, "This is apple pie." I said, "No, thank you." He said, "What's the matter?" I said, "Well, I'm a Baptist." And I said, "I don't." He said, "Well," this other guy standing there, and he said, "Well, you know what the difference between the Baptist and the Methodist are?" I said, "The Methodists will say hi when they see you at the liquor store." I thought, well, you know, I ought to laugh at that, I guess, but it didn't seem too funny to me. And then he said, "Where does it say in the Bible you ain't supposed to drink?" I said, I can't tell you that. But I can tell you one thing. I'm a member of Fairview Missionary Baptist Church. I said, right up there on that wall when I joined that church, I said it said that I would not take alcohol as a beverage. That may not be the exact word, but it's right over there if you want to read it. It's the same covenant there that it is here. Well, he said, there's nobody here from your church that they won't know. I said, you know, if I was to take a drink of that, which I know was wrong, I said, you might think every one of those people down there at that church is just like me. I said, I don't want to bring no shame on those people. I don't want to bring no shame on you people. Because if I'd have done that, and they were the same kind of church, they would have thought you all were just like that. You know, we got to try to be different in what we do. We got to be different in the way we live. You know, all these wise men, at the time Paul was talking, writing to the Corinthians here, they were doubting Jesus. They didn't believe in Jesus. I'm going to start down in chapter 2. I want to read a little there for us. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. See, Paul was a really, really wise man, well-learned man. He could have put it out there above those people's heads. But you know, we got to start where everybody can understand this. It says, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's all he wanted to preach, Jesus Christ. Now, if we look over, and you'll see, let me find it here in John, I think it's 14 and 6. It says, Jesus saith unto him, he's talking to Thomas right here, says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Well, when we come to knowledge and understanding that there's no other way for us to be saved, to escape a fiery hell, but through Jesus Christ, then we need to do something about it. On June the 3rd, 1969, I came to that realization that there was no other way but Jesus Christ. It says, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. When we see someone seeking the Lord, we know us saved people, we know what they're going through. We know the fear they have in their heart. We know the trembling they're going through. We know that, you know, there's only one way for them to get peace, and that's through Jesus Christ. And, you know, the only thing we can do for those people is pray. But Jesus answers prayers. He answered Hezekiah's prayer to be, when he told him, Isaiah went and told him, he said, you're going to die. So get your house in order, you're going to die. So he rolled over and prayed against the wall, and he told the Lord, you know, he said, I think I've been faithful in what I've done. I've tried to be righteous. God sent Isaiah back to Hezekiah and said, I'm going to add 15 years to your life. Many times I've prayed, and my prayers have been answered before I even get done with my prayer. Now, sometimes I pray and it seems like the Lord don't answer my prayer. But, you know, sometimes I got to get Don's will out of the way and get in the Lord's will. See, I'm praying for what Don wants. I need to be praying that the Lord's will be done. When my will and the Lord's will are the same, then what I want to be done. Now, when the Lord's will is going to be done, one way or the other, his will is going to be done. He gives us a choice. He gives us a choice whether we can either seek him and be saved, or, you know, we can reject him. If we reject him, there's no hope for us. If we go through this life and never saved, we're going to burn the fiery hell. That's all it is to it. That's plain and simple. That's the way it is. You know, I've had people tell me, you know, they wasn't ready to start going to church and be saved, you know. But we never know how long it's going to be until we're called from this earth. You know, there was two young boys driving down Cemetery Road. They had an accident. You know, I think it killed them both. Now, a few instances before that, they wasn't thinking about dying. But those things can happen. We better be ready to go. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That your faith should not stand in wisdom of men, but in the power of God. See, when I come up here to speak to you, or when any God-called preacher comes up here to speak to you, you don't want to hear what I got to say. But if we'll get out of the way and let the Lord take control, then His words are powerful. My words are not powerful. His words are powerful. His words are the truth. It's always going to be the truth. I can't find any place in the Bible that God's lied to anybody. There's no, you know, God just can't lie. That's one thing He can't do. He won't lie to you. You know, I mean, I was asked a question one time about, you know, why couldn't God save somebody and stop them from being evil? Well, He gave them a choice. He told them that's what their choice would be. And if they don't come to Him, they're not going to be saved. Now, God does have the power to do that, but He has spoken that He's given us a choice. We're the one that makes the choice. A lot of times I've made some bad choices. He sure chastised me for it too. But you know, that's how we know that He loves us, because He does chastise us. You know, He didn't have to do all the things He's done for us. But He loves us so much. I mean, my father, I know He loved me very much. He would do anything for me, just about. And as much love as my father had for me, God has an infinite amount of love for each and every one of us. If not, all the things that we do, all the times that we just get out here and just forget about Him, just put Him on the back burner. You know, there's a lot of churches today, they have an early service, so they can go out to the lake or something, get your church over the way with, and go on and do what you want to. God don't want to be put on the back burner. He wants to be first and foremost in everything that we do. It says, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of the world, nor of the princes of the world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Now we know that the Sadducees and the Pharisees, the high priest and all, if they'd have believed Jesus, they wouldn't have crucified Him. But at that time, it was foolishness to them. But in the end, the foolish ones are going to be the ones who don't believe. They don't believe in Jesus. They don't have the faith to step out there and trust something that they can't understand. Because, you know, I had a Muslim fellow tell me one time, why would God send His son? Why would it be His son? How could a man be His son, God's son? I said, you just got to trust in Him. He told me, they believe that Jesus was a prophet and He was a good man. But they didn't believe He was the Son of God. And I was telling Brother Miller right before service tonight, I said, you know, they left part of the Bible out and they wrote whatever they wanted for the rest of it. A lot of people are doing that today. They're taking what they want from the Bible and they're putting what they want in to make it easier. They're putting what they want in to make it an easier way to get salvation. Well, I'm telling you, if you don't have that fear and trembling and you don't call on the Lord, you're not going to be saved. If you come up here and I recite a prayer for you, that prayer is not coming from your heart. That's not going to save you. It makes it easy, makes it thank you. But you know, the Bible tells us we need to watch out for false teachers. He said they're like, what does it say, wolves in sheep's clothing. You know, we got to watch out for them there, because there's a lot of people out there that sound good. I get to listen to a lot of stuff on the radio when I'm traveling. And you'll hear a preacher, and man, he's preaching away, and he's preaching the truth. And all of a sudden, he gets to the end, and he just ruins it. You know, and I preach sometimes at the Cowboy Church. Some of the Cowboy Church preachers preach that way. They preach a prayer at the end, and if you believe that prayer, you'll be saved. Well, I don't preach that way. Sometimes they don't ask me to come back, neither. Some of them would hear me when I preach the way I do, and I tell them that's not the way I believe, they don't ask me to come back. You know, there's a lot of people just don't want to hear the truth. You know, sometimes the truth hurts, especially if we're not living the truth. You know, sometimes Brother Ron, he gets preaching pretty rough on me, and all because he points out the faults that I've got, that I know I've got them, but I don't want somebody pointing them out for me, you know. But when he hits them on the head, it feels like he's looking right at me and preaching right at me. But I thank him for it because, you know, if I let those faults go by and don't seek forgiveness for them, and don't try to better myself and don't try to live up to what God wants for me, I'm not doing the work that God wants me to do. And I can't be a servant to God and not work for him, not do the work that he wants me to do. You know, it's going to be like, I'll read a little more over here and we'll talk about that in just a moment. You know, it says, I read this before, but it says, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. You know, I believe that hidden wisdom is Jesus Christ. And I want to go over to the first chapter of Genesis, and I want to read something. It says, in the third verse, it said, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. Okay, we go over to the 14th verse, I believe it is, and it says, and God said, let there be light in the firmaments of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be a sign for all seasons. Well, see, that second light was the sun and the stars. That first light was Jesus Christ. That was Jesus Christ. He had been there from the beginning. You know, he wasn't just an afterthought because Adam and Eve sinned and didn't have no way to get back in fellowship with God. He was there from the beginning. That was the way, because God knew. God knows everything. He knows what I'm doing right now. He knows what I'm going to be doing tomorrow. He knows what I did yesterday. You know, I can hide things from you guys. I can go out here and do whatever I want to do, but I can't hide nothing from God. But you know, I'm tired of hiding from God. I've hid from God a lot of times. You know, I was like Adam and Eve in the garden when they tried to hide themselves, they covered up with leaves and all. You can't hide it from God. Ain't no way that we can cover our sins. Only thing that can cover our sins is the blood of Jesus Christ. We need to make sure the world know that. I know all you all know that. But we need to make sure when we go out these doors that these people up here may never heard this kind of preaching know that. You know, it may aggravate people when you start talking to them about Jesus. But you know, if you say something to one of them that helps them to be saved, if you put Jesus up there and let him draw them to him, then you've done more than you could ever imagine. You know, it says that there was one of the sheep was lost and there was 99 left, and Jesus left and went and got the one that was lost. And all. And I think that's what he wants us to do. I think he wants to talk to the people out here, tell them about Jesus, and lift him up. You know, we may look a little foolish to the world, but we'll go back and say, but the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. So what's foolish to men out here is not foolish to God. See, God wants willful servants. And it's our job and our duty to talk to people that are lost. Try to just get them to come to church. To get them to seek the Lord. Tell them about the Lord. Live a life in front of those people that make them want to be a Christian. It says, which none of the princes of the world knew, for they had known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. That was what I was talking about a few minutes ago about the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the high priest and all, King Herod and all. They just didn't understand. It didn't seem like that was the right way to go. Sometimes the right way, what seemed right, is not the right way. Especially what seemed right to men. You know, if you get to reading your Bible, there's some things happen that you don't understand why it happened that way, but God wanted it to happen that way. He set the rules. We don't set the rules, He sets the rules. And if we're ever going to get to heaven, we got to get there by His rules. And the only rule that He has that'll get us to heaven is through Jesus Christ. We can't even pray to God without going through Jesus. I'm thankful that I heard that message when I was a young man or when I was a young boy. You know, I could very well be out here and not have heard this. I could have been born of some other faith, and, you know, some of those different religions are strongly devoted to their religion, and they live it right. You know, maybe we should live for God like they do, but they're not living for a true God. You know, I was talking about Hezekiah a while ago. You know, he must have not have taught his sons very well, because when they became king, they got away from God and made idols and done things that God wasn't pleased with. I think Hezekiah's great-grandson, maybe, or was it Josiah, I believe, I think he turned back to God. He was pleased with him. See, sometimes the best we can do, we're not going to reach everybody. The best we can do, we might not reach our own children. But we got to try, we got to set an example. Sometimes we get to thinking that we're more important than we are. You see, everything and everybody should work for the glory of God, not for what we want. For God hath revealed them unto us. Well, I'm sorry, let me go back. But it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Like I said, when I was saved, I could feel God right in here. And the more I study, and the more I study now, the more he reveals me and the closer I get. And if you don't believe, you don't have Jesus in your heart. And it's hard to understand these things. And the only way that you can be saved is through faith. Because you're not going to have the understanding that you do before you're saved that you do after you're saved. When you're saved, you begin to start to understand why all this happened the way it did. And we're going to continue to learn. And you know, none of us know all the things. And I think when we get to heaven, we're going to be so surprised. And it's just going to be so wonderful. You know, I can't imagine what heaven's like. But I know on June the 3rd, 1969, when that preacher told me about hell, I knew I wanted to be in heaven instead of hell. No matter what heaven was like, it had to be a lot better than hell. I was scared. I was very scared. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with the spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolish unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Like I said a while ago, closer we get to God, the more prayerful we are, the more we read His teachings, His divine word in this Bible, the closer we'll be and the more we'll understand. And like I said right there, it said the natural man, which I believe that meant the unbelievers, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. You know, it tells us that we should seek heaven and the righteousness of God and not things of this world. And, you know, it's hard to get, you know, everybody wants to have worldly things. It's just natural instinct for man. You want to have things. But you can't ever be truly happy in your heart till you start putting God first. I know I used to get out and I had a really nice car. I wanted that. I wanted this. I wanted that. Every time I get something new, I wasn't happy. I was miserable. I was still seeking something else because it wasn't what I needed. I needed Jesus to be first and foremost in my heart. It said, but he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judge of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. If we're not saved and we're not seeking the knowledge that's in this Bible, we can't have the mind of Christ. And to fully understand it, we got to try to be more like Christ and try to understand what God has given us. Like I said, I'm thankful that I've been a part of this church. It's a funny thing how the Lord leads you somewhere. You don't know where you want to go or not. But the Lord's got a plan for us all. And we got to follow Him. And I'm thankful that He took me out to Fairview. Because the love that I feel for you folks, I felt that the first time I walked in the door there. You know, some of these churches, they'll be talking about things and they'll get off on, have a little misunderstanding in the church and all. I've heard of one church years ago that one guy was mad because he's wanting to put bathrooms in the church. He didn't think they ought to have bathrooms in the church. So he quit coming to church. Well, some more of them quit coming to church. Well, that ain't the way to be. You know, we all need to have one thing on our mind, and that's serving God. Being the best servant we can be. I'm going to read down just a little bit further in chapter 3 and said, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? You know, it's a responsibility for preachers and pastors to present the Lord. Not to put ourselves up on a plane higher than anyone else. The only person should be put on a pedestal is Jesus Christ. Amen. And all. And it goes to explain this in this, what I'm reading here. It says, for while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believe, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. You think about that a while. You got somebody planting, somebody watering, but we can't give any kind of increase. Each and every one of us got a responsibility in this church and outside of this church. You know, I said one time, you know, a car, the air in the tires, it don't seem to do much, just stay in the tires. You let that air get out of that tires, you ain't going very far. Sometimes I just need to be the heir, not try to do more than I should. Sometimes you just got to get the engine started. But God give us all something to do. We all need to do our job. Be willing to do our job. See, there's a lot of people that's not here tonight that are out here doing other things that don't know what we're talking about here tonight. They need you. They need me. Because the Lord's going to send us out there to talk to those people, to be a witness. You might be called on. He might call on you sometime just to give your testimony in front of somebody that don't know what you're talking about, that thinks you're a fool. Well, go ahead and be foolish and give your testimony. If that's what the Lord puts on you, just be foolish to the world, because it's not foolish to God. It says, "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." You can't lay a foundation for Christianity unless you put Jesus Christ right there at the front. That's the only way. You can't lay a foundation for salvation unless Jesus Christ is involved. I can't go out here and just pray to God and be saved. I got to go through Jesus Christ, because that's what God started from the beginning. He gave us the light, and that was Jesus right from the beginning. That was his way. You know, there's some things in the Bible that I don't understand. It seemed kind of ridiculous to me at times when I read them. You know, I read about where, Abraham or somebody was trying to sort the flocks out, and they stuck a stick in the water trough. And it caused some of the cattle to be spotted, and some of them weren't. Well, God told him to do that, and that's what he done. He didn't ask him why. He didn't say, "Well, that sounds kind of dumb, God. Why are you making me do that?" Why are we questioning God so much? When he says, "Get up off your seat and tell your testimony." "God, why do you want me to do that? You know, I told that last week." Well, there's somebody here who didn't hear it last week. You know, why do you want me to say something to that young girl right there in Kroger? Or over at that restaurant. Why do you want me to do that? You know, I'm tired of doing that. I do that all the time, and they don't ever come to church. Well, I got to do it anyway. See, God wants us to work for him. He wants us to plant, water. He'll give us the increase in his due time. It says, "Now if any man build upon the foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall be declared, shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man work abide which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" You know, another verse that's very dear to me, I look at this verse a lot. Sometimes when I get sidetracked, sometimes when I think that I'm too busy doing what I need to do to make a living, or what I need to do for my children, or just being tired, you know. Sometimes I just get tired and don't want to do something. Can you imagine how we'd have felt if Jesus said, "Well, I'm too tired to go up there on that hill and die for these people. I don't want to pack that cross up there. I'm just going to stay here." You know what happened to us? We wouldn't have a choice. We'd be doomed to hell. We wouldn't have that opportunity to seek him. You know, I get to thinking about what I'm going to do and how, but... and. Matthew 6 and 33, it says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Now, he was talking about what they were going to do for clothes and shelter and all. But, you know, that, if you put God first and foremost, if you seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things, they'll come. You'll have what you need. You can look at me, I've never missed a meal. Never been hungry in my life. Always had clothes to wear. Always had shelter. God's given me more than I've ever deserved. If we got what we deserve, Jesus wouldn't have died for us, I tell you that, because we'd all be doomed to hell. But I'm thankful that he loved us so much that his son was willing to go up on that cross and bear all that pain for me and for you and for every lost person that's in this world and ever been in this world. Now, you know, it's a shame to see that some people don't realize that. It hurts me to see that some people, and I have a fellow that works for me, and I've tried to talk to him about Jesus. And he told me, he said, "You know, my mom and dad took me to church, me and my brother and sisters, and dropped us off. That they'd come back and get us when church was over, they wouldn't go there safe." He said, if it's not good enough for them, it's not good enough for me. You know, that's a shame. Every time I try to talk to him, he shuts me out. He won't listen. I still love him. I want him to be saved. But all he's got to look forward to is eternal hell unless he turns his life around and seeks the Lord. See, I can't reach him. I've tried. And every time the Lord gives me an opportunity, I try again. See, some of you all might be able to reach him. That's why we all got to be willing to do what God wants us to do. Work for him. You know, I want to thank y'all for letting me come here tonight. And I hope I didn't make too much of a mess of this message. I hope I done what the Lord wanted me to. And I hope I always am able to just do what he wants me to do. Hope I won't be so lazy. Hope I won't be tired. But you know, those times are going to come. The devil's always looking for a way to keep you from doing what you're supposed to do. And whatever your weakness is, he's always putting that in front of you. He knows us. He knows what we will and what we won't do. And he's going to put obstacles in front of us. But you know, God is in control. And my weakness, I may be weak. I may not be able to stand up to the devil, but with God, I can do it. Can't do it by myself. But with God, I can do it. Y'all just pray for me that I'll be able to do what he wants me to do. Go wherever he wants me to do. Go preach wherever he wants me to preach. Say the things that he'd want me to say. And everything that I can do will be for his praise and honor and glory. Thank you very much.